next presenter is Dean Schillinger. Not that he needs much of an introduction, but he's professor of medicine, the University of California, San Francisco, and chief of the UCSF Division of General Internal Medicine. Oops. Nice there. He carries out research related to healthcare for vulnerable populations, is an internationally known expert in health communication science. He currently directs the health communications program at the UCSF Center for Vulnerable Populations, someone I got to work with years ago on a book, edited book on health literacy at this intersection, as a matter of fact, and I thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you. Okay, today I'm going to be representing Health Literacy Policy Roundtable of the Institute of Medicine. As you probably are aware, in 2004, the Institute of Medicine came out with its landmark report on health literacy, a prescription to end confusion. And as part of that work, there was follow-up work that was supported by the Institute of Medicine to bring together health literacy experts to move the agenda forward. And about 15 months ago, I received a phone call from the Health Literacy Policy Roundtable to help think through what are the attributes of health-literate healthcare organizations. What does that mean? And so today's 15 minutes is simply a summary of the longer report, which you see referenced here on the first slide. I will say that when the report was commissioned, I, with my co-author, Dr. Devorah Keller, came up with 18 attributes. And I don't know how many of you ever have seen the movie The History of the World. What's his name? Who's the Mel Brooks movie, History of the World, right? There's the great scene where Moses comes down with the tablets and he says, I have these 20 commandments. And then one of the tablets falls and goes, 10 commandments. I have these 10 commandments. So we had 18 and then we were forced to shorten it down and simplify it to 10, which is what I'll share with you today. So the rationale for focusing on health literacy on the organizational level is as follows. As Mike Wolf and Laura had implied, most health literacy research has focused on characterizing patients' deficits, how best to measure a patient's health literacy, and on clarifying relationships between limited health literacy and outcomes. But there is a growing appreciation that health literacy represents a balance between individuals' health literacy skills and the health literacy demands and attributes of the healthcare system. In addition, there's interest and commitment from multiple stakeholders to address system-level factors contributing to the high literacy demands of the healthcare system. Specifically, enactment of the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, the ACA, provides both opportunities and challenges for individuals with limited health literacy. Examples include insurance reform, insurance exchanges, Medicaid expansion, patient-centered medical homes, and the HITECH Act with its implications for meaningful use of health information. For this commissioned paper, the definition of health literacy that was used was the first one that was alluded to in the prior talk, the degree to which individuals have the capacity to obtain, communicate, process, and understand basic health information and services needed to make appropriate health decisions. We define health literate organizations as organizations that make it easier for people to navigate, understand, and use information and services to take care of their health. The first author of this commissioned paper with 10 attributes is Dr. Cindy Brack, many of you know, from the Agency for Health Research and Quality. So let me spend the remaining few minutes just going through these 10 attributes. And as you will see, there is some overlap between them, but we tried our best to have them be mutually exclusive. We display the attributes here as bricks in the foundation of a health-literate healthcare organization.
Do we have a pointer? Do you know, John?
I do not.
No pointer. Okay. So let me briefly run through them. Health-literate healthcare organizations have leadership that promotes health literacy, that plans, evaluates, and improves its performance related to health literacy, that prepares the healthcare workforce to communicate with patients with limited literacy skills and enhance health literacy skills, includes consumers themselves in the design of materials, is designed to meet the needs of all, not just the higher-end consumers in its population, communicates effectively across multiple transitions in care, ensures easy access to health information, designs easy-to-use material, targets high-risk communication moments such as informed consent or use of high-risk medications, and lastly explains coverage and costs to patients. Let me spend a moment going through each of these in a little bit more detail. The first attribute is that a health-literate healthcare organization has leadership that makes health literacy integral to its mission, structure, and operation. This leadership makes clear and effective communication a top priority, assigns responsibility for health literacy oversight, sets goals for health literacy improvement, and allocates the necessary fiscal and human resources. Attribute two, a health literate organization integrates health literacy into its planning, evaluation measures, patient safety, and quality improvement initiatives. A health literate organization and measures the success in achieving the health literacy attributes and identifying areas for quality improvement. Third attribute, a health literate healthcare organization prepares the workforce to be health literate and monitors progress. It hires diverse staff with health literacy expertise. It sets and meets goals for training all staff and members of governing bodies, provides health literacy training, and incorporates health literacy into orientations and other trainings, and arranges for staff to take advantage of online health literacy training resources, a number of which are now available from HRSA and the CDC. The fourth attribute, a health-literate healthcare organization includes the population served in the design, implementation, and evaluation of health information and services. This is my personal favorite. It includes members of the population served on governing bodies. It establishes advisory groups that involve individuals with limited health literacy, adult educators, and experts in health literacy. It collaborates with community members in the design and implementation of interventions and the development and testing of materials. The fifth attribute, a health literate organization meets the needs of populations with a range of health literacy skills while avoiding stigmatization. The issue of screening, I think, came up in Dr. Wolf's talk. And in our view, health literate healthcare organizations adopt health literacy universal precautions, such as offering everyone help with literacy tasks. It allocates resources proportionate to the concentration of individuals with limited health literacy. So contrary to the common path, which is also known as the inverse care law, where those who need the most in terms of health care and health information tend to get the least, health literate healthcare organizations attempt to reverse the inverse care law by allocating resources proportionate to the concentration of individuals with limited health literacy. Attribute six, health literate healthcare organizations use health literacy strategies in interpersonal communications and confirm understanding at all points of contact. They have clinicians refrain from using medical jargon. They confirm understanding using such strategies as the teach-back method or teach-to-goal method. They secure language assistance to speakers of languages other than English. We know there is a very strong interaction between English as a second language and limited health literacy, a synergistic impact. Health-literate healthcare organizations tend to bundle their messages such that they limit them to two or three messages at a time to enhance comprehension, and they encourage question asking. Attribute 7, health literate healthcare organizations provide easy access to health information and services and navigation assistance. They facilitate scheduling appointments with other services, use clear signage, offer assistance with all literacy-related tasks, and most importantly, in this evolving health IT arena, make electronic patient portals user-centered and provide training on how to use them. Attribute 8 of a health-literate healthcare organization, they design and distribute print, AV material, and social media content that is easy to understand and act on. It involves diverse audiences, including those with limited health literacy, in the development and rigorous user testing. They also use quality translation processes to produce materials in languages other than English. Attribute 9, a health literate healthcare organization addresses health literacy with particular poignancy in high-risk situations, including care transitions, such as discharge from the hospital, and communication about medications, especially high-risk medications. Examples of such medications would include warfarin, which is an anticoagulant blood-thinning medication, or some of the newer immune-modulating agents that are being used in autoimmune diseases that are highly effective but also have very dangerous risk profiles that require patients to entirely comprehend their risks and benefits. So they prioritize high-risk situations such as informed consent for surgery and other invasive procedures and emphasize high-risk topics, education around conditions that require extensive self-management. And finally, attribute 10, health-literate healthcare organizations communicate clearly with patients around what health plans cover and what individuals will have to pay for their services. They provide easy-to-understand descriptions of health insurance policies and communicate the out-of-pocket costs for healthcare services before they are delivered. Some concluding thoughts before you think I'm either megalomaniacal or messianic. This paper really offers a set of attributes, what we have described as aspirational goals. We recognize that no healthcare system is currently designed as a health-literate healthcare organization. I work at a public hospital system just down the street, and we are woefully inadequate in meeting these goals. So it offers a set of aspirational goals and foci for institutional investments for organizations that are striving to become more health literate. We recognize that it reflects a utopian vision, but nonetheless feel it is important to put the stake in the ground as to how we can make our healthcare organizations more manageable for all patients, but particularly those with limited literacy skills. Third, many of the attributes listed apply to direct service health organizations, but can also be made relevant to the broad range of institutions that contribute to the healthcare system. Pharmacies, allied healthcare services, I mentioned the insurance industry when we were talking about payment of services, pharmacy benefits managers, the complex array of services that now are being called into play in contemporary healthcare. This list of 10 attributes is not exhaustive and, as you could see, was not mutually exclusive and should be seen as the continuation of a conversation regarding how healthcare organizations can address health literacy on an institutional level. Hopefully, it provides a roadmap to advance an optimistic vision of how organizations should evolve to be more responsive to the needs of populations with limited health literacy in tangible ways. Thanks. I'll stop now.